I know it's tough to stomach, Cleveland fans. There still is basketball going on as we speak. Last night, we had one in the books, 114-88, the Thunder, at home with everybody decked out in the shirts. There was one dude that was sitting courtside that did not wear the shirt in Oklahoma City. They have one of the great home court advantages. Although, I will say, national, both ESPN and TNT said we had the loudest building. It's not very loud right now. And to talk about that and so much more, Justin Termini on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome him in from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Over there in drive time, I've been blessed to be on the show, Justin, and we are so blessed to have you on right now.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far. If that's the case, why, when I come on, do you tweet out a little small picture of me? But, like, whenever I see Jared Greenberg on, it's from NBA TV and from TNT, it's a massive picture. Can you help me out with
that? I can tell you, we got into it with Greenberg just about a week and a half ago when he didn't like my line of questioning about the body language of some of the injured guys like Darius Garland. He did not appreciate that. He said, I'm not a body language doctor. I can't be doing that. But Justin, you are somebody who will read the body language. You'll have no problems doing just that.
Well, I could do anything. I'm a lot smarter than Greenberg. I think he went to Hofstra. I went to Emerson. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Quickly, we're going to get into the Cavs. And we've got Eastern Conference Game 1 tonight between Indiana and New York. Did you have any blistering takeaways from what was a very ugly opening 3 minutes of that game because of the foul merchant attitude of SGA getting those calls, and when we haven't seen any of that stuff all playoffs long, and then a very good game until about midway through the third quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only thing that, it's the only thing I tweeted last night. So, I obviously have a lot of takes for the show today. But the one thing I felt compelled to tweet is, like, you're watching every other series and guys are getting absolutely hammered all postseason long. I think that's been the talk around the league, is the amount of physicality. And then we're watching one guy get officiated a completely different way. So it's really confusing. I mean, Alex Caruso is basically holding on to the body of Jokic for 48 minutes, a guy that you would think would earn the respect of the officials because of his resume. He doesn't get that whistle. And I understand that sometimes a big guy, Shaquille O'Neal, et cetera, won't get a whistle like that. But then to watch the complete opposite, where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is flopping around like a fish. And, at times there was one that they even had to challenge and it got overturned where he falls down, nobody touches him. I just don't understand it. It is frustrating to watch, and I assume it's frustrating to play against.
You mentioned Alex Caruso, and I was thinking, you want crazy thoughts, because we're having crazy thoughts. Every year the Cavs get knocked out early, and there's talk about toughness. And I'm like, what if the Cavs, I know it was a Josh Giddey deal for Caruso, and I would have never pitched this in a million years. Trade Darius Garland for Alex Caruso. But, like, what would the Cavs have been with Alex Caruso instead of Darius Garland in that Pacers series?
Yeah, I mean, like, trading Josh Giddey for Alex Caruso is a lot different. And I think they had a lot more assets, OKC, than Cleveland does. But, clearly they would have been a little bit better because they have offensive weapons in Donovan Mitchell, right, who's, minus the ability to get fouled like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is pretty close in other terms. Evan Mobley can score. Ty Jerome coming off the bench, even though he was brutal in the series, an offensive force. So, like, maybe in that position you lean a little bit more towards defense. That would help you, as opposed to Darius Garland, who's, I guess if you're going to define anybody as being a traffic cone or the weak point of the Cleveland defense, it's going to be him, right?
I think so. Justin Termini with us right now on the hotline. You can follow him at Termini Radio on social media. Okay, so Cavs season is over. We've had the exit meetings. We've had the end of the year press conference. The term that gets brought up the most right now with the Cavs is the term toughness. Did you think toughness was part of the reason the Cavs are sitting at home right now?
I don't know about that. With the injuries, last time I was on, I made a point about, like, Kevin McHale playing through a broken foot, right? And Darius Garland.
Which I thought was ridiculous. I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. You gatekeepers want to talk about the olden days. Nobody's playing with a broken foot in today's game. You'd get right off the court. You get played right off the floor.
Well, so first of all, I brought that up, but I didn't bring it up to say Darius Garland, if you remember the conversation, should play the entire game. I said, why the hell isn't he in a uniform? At the very least, at the end of the game, maybe he's in there as a guy that could take a foul shot, correct? So I'm not asking him to play 48 minutes, maybe like two or three. Darius Garland's a very intelligent guy. Have him inbound the basketball, which is something your team couldn't do down the stretch, right? When you had, what was it, game four, I believe, or game three, where it looked like you should have easily won it, but you couldn't inbound the basketball. Darius Garland could do that if he suited up. But again, I didn't have a major issue with it. But then you say, like, guys aren't playing like that. I did watch a guy in Denver do that, and Aaron Gordon play with a grade two hamstring strain and do what he needed to do. I did watch Michael Porter Jr. now play horrifically, but at least give the effort to go out there. So again, I'm not crushing it, but you asked me.
Well, the full team tough. Was back by the end of the series. Everybody did play in the fifth game.
You asked me if the team was tough, right? You said, is that an issue? And I'm pointing out the fact that Michael Porter Jr. didn't miss one game. Aaron Gordon played in the grade two hamstring strain. And your team, actually, the team you just asked me is tough, did have guys sitting out in Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter and Darius Garland. So, again, I'm not accusing them of being soft.
That sounds like
you are. I'll also say that other teams didn't have that issue, even though guys were banged up. Jaylen Brown's playing through a torn meniscus. Kristaps Porzingis basically being rolled out there on his deathbed and playing. And guys for your team actually did miss games.
Good thing Termini's not doing the NFL. He would have been ripping DeMar Hamlin for not returning the very next game after he left the field. All right, Justin Termini joining us on the hotline. So the actual nucleus of the Cavs, Kobe Altman made it sound like they will be back. It will be the exact same squad next year. That's something he said. Who knows what he's actually thinking? And with the second apron stuff, how much they actually can maneuver. Do you think it would be a mistake for the Cavs to, quote, run it back?
I don't know if it's a mistake. I mean, they're a really good team. Eventually, perhaps you get over the hump. Three consecutive years with that four, though, you haven't won six playoff games. The deepest you've gotten is five games. So, like, with the definition of insanity, continue to do the same thing, expect different results. I don't know. Like, if there is going to be a breakup, I've talked to some people around the league. The guy that they think would be moved is Darius Garland. Can you win with a small backcourt? Can you win with his lack of defense? Like, if they decide to break it up, then I guess he would be the guy to go. And I guess the argument to keep it together, not just the 64 wins this past year, but now Tatum is out for all of next season, you would assume. Giannis is potentially moved out of the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference is going to be weak, and you know what you have at the very least in Cleveland to run it back and at least get the one or the two seed again next year.
Justin Termini with us on the hotline. So given the landscape of the Eastern Conference, you know, how much does that enter the calculus for the management and the organization, given that this looks like could be a very, very, I shouldn't say easy because we keep losing to teams that we think we should beat, but it does seem like it shouldn't take that much to get over the hump in this Eastern Conference next year as it looks today.
Yeah, I mean, so that's why, I mean, that's the argument to run it back is you know what you have. You have a 60-win team. You have a team that you would think with continuity gets better every year. I thought that was one of the strengths of Cleveland this past year. I thought it was one of the strengths of Boston. It didn't work out for either one. I think it's helped Indiana get back to where they were. Is that team's been playing together now for multiple years. It was a little shocking that New York was able to be really good down the stretch against Boston, despite not having that experience together in tight spots with Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns being new pieces. But I'm always a big continuity guy. And I think that's one of the reasons you would run it back is the East is going to be an absolute joke next year from the looks of it. And at least you know you have a really good team. So, like, you wouldn't use next year as a gap year of any sort because you'd have another legitimate chance to come out.
Justin Termini joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Justin, would you make a trade? Your buddy Bill Simmons said he would do Evan Mobley for Giannis Antetokounmpo straight up. Would you do that?
Where were you? Is this the first question you even asked me?
No, I've been writing things down.
He's been diligently taking notes, Justin.
Yeah, Tommy's mother and Godfather and Goodfellas. I just listening.
I felt it was like six straight questions from
I had to get off my chest.
In all pure honesty, I feel when I bring you on, sometimes I bog it down at the very beginning. It's like, let's get down to business here. Let's let Anthony ask the questions here and get going.
Yeah, I was wondering why the interview was so good, but up to this point.
Fair criticism.
With Evan Mobley, we talked a little bit about that on the show yesterday. I don't even know if you could make that work under the CBA, so it might just
Let's say you could. Let's have some fun.
I would do that if I'm Cleveland. Like, you see how quick the turnover is around the league. So, it's awesome that you have Evan Mobley and you can build around him. He's a tremendous player. But what are the chances that you're going to have Evan Mobley for the next decade? And then on top of that, what are the chances that you're going to have Evan Mobley for the next decade with a competitive roster around him? The chances aren't great. Evan Mobley could be a Cavalier for life, right? Like, Jason Tatum could be a Celtic for life, and I'm here in Boston. But the issue is, like, the roster is going to turn over so many times around Tatum with this new CBA that, he's going to have some good teams some years. He's going to have some bad teams surrounding him some years because Boston's about to blow it up. That's the same thing with Evan Mobley. So if you have this window where you could take advantage of it, you should. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is in the middle of his prime as one of the 25 best players of all time. If he's the best player with Donovan Mitchell as your second best player, with Darius Garland as your third best player, you still have Jared Allen is your fourth best player. I mean, so that's four guys capable of being all-stars and two guys capable of being first-team All-NBA. I think you would need to do it. What do you guys think?
I said I would. I was surprised at the amount of people who agreed with me. I thought I was really getting ready to take a beating on the phones and online, and I didn't. I was surprised by that. I think there's a lot of people. I don't think it's a desperate move. Giannis is at the peak of his powers right now. I think that it would be a bold move, certainly, but not desperate. I think that that'd be a winning move probably for both franchises.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a win for Cleveland. Like, it shortens their window. But, like, again, if it was 15 years ago, teams stayed together forever, maybe you don't do it. But now, when there's so much turnover every two or three years, I think you have to go for the jugular.
Well, also with Donovan's, and I know you don't have like his contract stuff right in front of you, for crying out loud, but with his contract, his extension, I feel this window's only open for the next couple of years anyway. So I can't even say, well, this is a win now move and you've just put a bunch of pressure. I think there's a bunch of pressure on him anyway, man.
Yeah, Liz, every team is win now. It's a completely different league. It's not something where, like, you get this, like, core and you could build around it forever because these contracts come up. And we see how Oklahoma City right now is not winning because of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, and Chet Holmgren. The three of those guys were horrific to start that game yesterday. At the first half, they were down by 4 points. Why? Because they're deep. I mean, look at Denver. Denver had a much better starting five in their series. The reason they lost is because they have absolutely no depth. So, that stuff just changes nonstop.
I'm into the Eastern Conference Finals. Obviously, we lost to one of the teams, and the Knicks have been a really bizarre case study for not managing minutes all of a sudden. Last year, they were all injured going in. Now, they're pretty healthy and playing well. But do either of these teams have any shot to actually win the championship?
No, I mean, I don't see them as having a shot of winning the championship. Oklahoma City right now is an absolute buzzsaw. And I think the worst thing that happened for the rest of the league was Denver pushing them so hard, right? Because it showed them what it takes to win a series and maybe helps refocus them and bring them to another level. And then once they get that experience of playing like in a big game seven or a big game six on the road against the best player in the sport, I think it kind of hardened them moving forward. You saw a little bit of that last night where they made easy work of Minnesota. And I think they're clearly the best team.
Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio. If you were LeBron, would you want to come back?
He's got a better shot of winning in Cleveland. The better question is,
I know you hate that, but I have to ask it, you know.
Does the Cleveland fan want him back?
No.
They don't? Okay, no. Well, there you go. The Cleveland fan.
I don't think Ken speaks for everybody there.
Oh, come on. Are you serious? I mean, yeah, like Darius Garland, obviously, like people would make that trade, but I mean, come on.
Now, as sports talk host, do you like the drama or does it get like nauseating?
I'm over it. I feel the same way Lima feels with Browns quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's to me, it's nauseating. It was a very likable team this year. Like I was like the Cavs were an easy team to root for this year. They were not when it was LeBron and Kyrie centric.
No, Justin, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours.
Yeah, well, it's just me, so there's no yours.
Where's your dog?
Lying right next to me in bed. I'm doing this as I'm in bed.
What's her name?
Zuzu, Z-U-Z-U.
Yeah. Only female you get to lay with you in bed in the morning.
Oof. Yeah, well, yeah, unfortunately. But she's better. I've had some others, but she's a lot better looking than dog is.
Oh, my God in heaven. All right, Justin, goodbye.
All right, farewell, guys.
We'll see you. Justin Turner. What? I didn't say it. He did.
I'm amazed how many people are talking about Evan Mobley for this. Is not just a media convention in Cleveland. The amount of people around the league, especially at the combine in Chicago, that was what executives, scouts.
This is a real conversation?
That was 100% what people came back from that combine saying that people were talking about there was who wouldn't do that deal?
Okay. I would.
That very interesting.
I think when you have one of the most influential NBA podcasters talking about it and everybody, it wasn't a big blow-up conversation. They were just like, yeah, I think they both do it.
Yeah, they didn't brush it off either. Zach Lowe, Chris Mannix put it up literally yesterday from Sports Illustrated.